And now, wearing his hoodie because he heard there was going to be a draft, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us here on a Thursday. Back at it today. Not a cloud in the sky. Plenty of heat. Do you like the heat?
No.
I don't mind the heat a little. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to live in Phoenix. Like, what? Somebody told me there were planes couldn't take off.
Yeah.
Can it actually get that hot that you can't take off a plane? Then how do they ever fly to Dubai?
I don't know. But it's a dry heat there.
It's not as dry as it used to be in Phoenix. Everybody's got
the
a
plane
pool in the
thing
yard.
Is like small planes, like prop planes.
Oh, is that what it was?
Like if you have a jet, you'll be fine.
You're good.
Yeah.
It's the prop planes?
Yeah. Okay. There's no draft.
Yeah, the humidity is like 20-25% higher in Phoenix than it is in Vegas. So that dry heat thing's going away. But, you know, whatever. Enjoy. They make up for it with plenty of traffic for you. So you can sit out there and bake. Mm-hmm. I like Phoenix. Phoenix is certainly a step up from L.A. And L.A. is fine. It's a like to visit, don't want to live there. Phoenix is more livable. But I don't know that you can 12-month it.
No.
Even my friends that have lived in Phoenix for a long time, first of almost all of them have left. Right. And they all seem to bounce back and forth between the Pacific Northwest and Arizona.
Complete.
Oh, I got to get some water in my life.
I need some.
I'm moving to Seattle. Then they go back to Phoenix. Then they move to Portland.
I'm tired of the rain. I'm tired of no rain. Of the rain.
My buddies that have lived back and forth there, it's like well, what is it? Like, you're so soaking wet, you need to dry out for 8 years in Phoenix, and then, let's go drink water for 5 years, and then they're back in Phoenix. I don't know.
I'm a biased observer in that my favorite month of the year is between September 15th and October 15th. I like the fall a lot, so I'm not generally going to like hot climates anyway. But I landed in Phoenix only a couple of years back. I was like, this is kind of nice. I like this. About day three, I was like, About day five, I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm tired of seeing hazy skies and no grass, and I'm like, I need to go somewhere else. I came back, it was 65 degrees cooler here than it was when I left. I was like, the 15 degrees kind of sucks in February, but
right.
I think that whole thing would age on me pretty quickly. But some people love it. Some people think, it's just the greatest.
Yeah, it's you know, look, I don't think anybody's bragging about our summer. So,
no.
You know, we'll see. But I digress. Hot day today, and then it's supposed to cool off this weekend, so enjoy. Hot time's going to be at the 810 zone at Corbin Park, 4 to 8 today. It is our 810 All-Star event. Rob Riggle, Trent Green, Tim Grunhard, Jamie Bluma, Jeff Montgomery, Matt Beasler is going to be there. I know some more of the sporting guys are going to be there, I was hearing.
Cool.
So looking forward to getting over there this afternoon. VIP tickets, all you can eat and drink. Just email allstars@810whb.com. If you'd like to come join us today, our thanks to our sponsors, Charlie Hustle, Loaded Vodka, Syro Clinic, Sutherland's, Central States Brewing Company, O'Neill Honda, and my friends at All Weather Decks. I'm looking forward to seeing, I know Scott's going to be over there. I'm not sure who all from All Weather Decks, so it will be good to see the guys. Who do such a great job on the outdoor living spaces all over Kansas City. Go to allweatherdecks.net, and you can see all the great projects they've done. But it'll be good to have a little social time with the fellas.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see you over at the 810 zone this afternoon and evening on into the NBA draft.
The NBA! I miss Stern's delivery.
Yeah.
I miss the Cleveland Cavaliers and the defending champion San Antonio Spurs are on the clock. Champion is never going to get old to me.
Do you know, like they were when they handed out the Stanley Cup this year, they were booing the commissioner. Is Gary Bettman? I didn't realize Gary Bettman was a villain. I get it with Goodell and being sideways with some fan bases.
Is there still ire from a lockout?
I don't know.
That would be my assumption.
How much of that was the fact that he was going to hand out the trophy and the home team fans lost, so maybe they were just booing the trophy. I don't know. But I don't know why that they'd be on him. What's Nashville got to hate the commissioner of the NHL for? He's one of the reasons. I mean, he oversaw.
They're there. They got their franchise.
You're a monster city, and I'm sure
I'm sure there's more to it than I realize.
I'm not sure what that is.
So, you know.
Maybe he didn't like country music or something.
Yeah.
He crapped on the Grand Ole Opry is what he said. The Opry sucks.
And now for the trophy. Boo!
I hate the Opry.
I didn't hear that part. That was right before they brought the mic up or something. I don't know.
Cash was a bum, what he said.
Was he from Nashville?
Nah, just country music, you know.
Was he country music?
Johnny Cash? Yeah. No, probably not.
Oh, I forgot. Anything that's not pop is country music in your...
No.
We found that out a couple days ago.
What would you call
Rob,
Johnny
you
Cash?
Weren't here for that.
What would you call Johnny Cash?
Would you call Mumford & Sons country?
Mumford & Sons is folk.
That's what we said, and he said, well, that's country.
Yeah, it's
No. Folk is different than country.
That's okay.
Okay. I had some backers on Twitter. It's closer to country than it is to any other style of music. The opening chords, I'm like, that sounds like the beginning of a Keith Urban song or something.
Yeah, this is folk.
That's what I say, too.
A little bluegrassy.
Particularly when I...
Bluegrass is just 10 miles away from country, you schmuck. Get out of the deep end of the pool, Brenton.
Fantastic. I was like, ooh, wrong answer. Wrong answer, Rob. You're not helping the cause with that one. I saw that one
it's
coming.
It's not really rap. It's more hip-hop.
When he starts singing, it sounds like Irish folk. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
But we've had that.
True that.
So we won't have it again.
That was fun.
For 20 more minutes. When we go to a break.
But Memphis, yeah, good place. Or Nashville, good place. One of those places in Tennessee. Tennessee, good place. Never been. Heard it's great.
I was gonna go right there. Wait a minute, the guy who's been to four states, is calling it a good place. And I was just gonna go, I know you have not been to either Nashville or Memphis. I guarantee that.
Memphis would be fun.
Memphis, you better stick to Beale Street. Yeah. It's a little rougher,
right
faster
here.
In Memphis.
Right
Nashville, a little Kansas City-esque in Nashville. And I have not spent extended time in Memphis, so I'm sorry. But that's what the people I know who live there tell me. So there you go. Don't flood the lines. I'm not debating Memphis. Blair Kirkhoff's going to be with us. He'll debate that with you, maybe, perhaps. He'll be with us in the 11 o'clock hour.
He probably has been to Tennessee. He's probably been to every state.
He's probably like 47, 48. Yeah. I'll bet there's I've never had a reason to get to Maine. Haven't done Alaska. A lot of people vacation Hawaii. More people have Hawaii than you might think, but maybe Hawaii, but maybe a Washington state, an Oregon, a Montana, and Idaho. I'll bet he's over 40.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put an over-under. Let's all pick a number on states.
Are we picking the over-under or are we picking what we think his number is?
No, we're picking the number. We're all going to go for a number. You're going to go 45?
Oh, I think he's south of 45. I'm going to go 36.
Ooh.
There's no reason to go to the Dakotas.
So either 40 or 41 I should sit at. I'm going to take 42.
Two
to get me a little bit. That gives me 43. I'm going to take 43.
43?
Yeah, because that gets me 44 and 45, right?
Yep.
No, it just gets me 44.
Yeah, we'd tie at 44. Because it's not over.
What'd you say?
I said 45.
I'm going to take 42.
Cool.
Put it down. Let's see where we're at. So KLS 45. I think you might be right. That's a pretty good number.
Second, he's been doing this for a while. And although his base has been the same city, but still. You cover the colleges. And
what were you, 36? Okay. We'll see where we're at. Last time we did this, who won? It was what time he was getting out to Outlaw Harley. Who won?
I think Shane won that one. Did he's on the remote with us.
Yeah, okay. Bradford Doolittle, formerly of the Kansas City Star, now with ESPN, will be with us to talk a little baseball. What was Bradford writing about? Why are we talking to him? I already forgot.
I sent you the article.
I perused it.
That's good. Talked about Greg Holland's dominance with the Rockies.
Oh, that's right.
And
Rockies.
How small market teams were following the bullpen build of the Royals.
I knew we'd talked about it yesterday. I just couldn't remember. I've earned these gray hairs, man. Just, you don't need to point it out. Fine, I should have remembered. I didn't. Just answer the question, man. We're talking about bullpens and such.
The Greg Holland signing. Everyone that said, this is going to lead the Rockies. They're going to be dominant with him. Everyone said that, right?
Yeah, we'll get his thoughts on the Royals bullpen. Is it good enough, or is that what they need to strengthen? We're going to talk about the Royals here in a second, too, by the way. We might get you the things you need to know there in the noon hour. Tim Grunhardt scheduled to join us at the 1 o'clock hour and scheduled to be over at the 810 zone. So I'm looking forward to that. Do you think when he said yes to this time, he knew that he would have to be out south?
Like Grunny thinks ahead. He'll probably text us at, 12:50. I'm on the way.
No,
I'm en route.
I think we're likely to be at 12:50. I forgot I got to be out there tonight. Yeah. I can't make it, guys. That's a Grunhardt move. Super guy, not reliable.
Always showed up at the OTAs. Occasionally shows up for the program.
I will talk smack on him when he's not here. When he's here, Tim, what's going on, pal? You're always on time.
It is amazing because he was one of those guys that was absolutely adamant that you come to the OTAs, right? Even though they're voluntary, that you are expected to be there. You better be there.
If I'm here, you should be here, too. And why is your time more valuable than my time?
He's pretty reliable, but there will be some, dude, can't. So it's like funny how that, maybe we'll talk to him about how that mindset, how that meets, the intersection of that, where that meets.
Yeah.
Royals, Nate Buchanan made an interesting point. First one. I mean, I was so proud of him. I gave him a big hug when I came in here. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. He said, look, if you're all in, you buy at the deadline. Which was, I think, a great way to, put it bluntly. Like, let's not talk about the Royals being all in. I think we as fans, and certainly we in the media, need to evaluate them that way. You're not all in unless you add to this team and add to it, I would say, in a significant way. Now, it is entirely possible that you will offer up Raul Mondesi and Josh Stoman and Hunter Dozier and Khalil Lee, your top prospects. I'd say those are your four best prospects that are down in the minor leagues. It's possible you offer all four of those guys for a dominant closer or a frontline starting pitcher or a power-hitting right fielder. It's possible that you put all that and are not able to get what you want. It's possible the only big bat is, we've heard that the Phillies are interested in Christian Yelich and Giancarlo Stanton. What if there's truth in that, if the Marlins are actually looking at moving those guys, I have to come to the conclusion that it's because the ownership is trying to whittle down the payroll and make it a more profitable-looking business, because they don't have that Giancarlo Stanton $300 million contract hanging over their heads. I think it's possible to be all in, go for it, offer your best prospects, but say, we can't afford Giancarlo Stanton's contract. Now, I think you ought to be able to in years to come. If you can somehow get the Marlins to eat money this year and next, then a lot of money drops off the table. But as we know, the Royals are already obligated over $100 million. And I'm not saying Giancarlo Stanton's the answer to their, the guy that answers all their ills. I'm just using him as an example. I want to be clear because I try to be fair. And people like black and white. They want to hear that if you don't go at a star, you didn't try. Well, no, that's not it. Okay, it's not that black and white. There are shades of gray. But if you're not willing to move Josh Stoman, who right now has 100-mile-per-hour fastball, the ability to strike guys out, and a lot of times no idea where it's going or ability to control it. At least right now, you and your organization have not harnessed that ability to where you had to pass him over, even though he's a much bigger prospect than Jake Junis and Eric Skoglund. You went to two other guys before you went to him because you have not been able to harness that stuff. He's an expendable asset. I love it, the NBA draft. Everyone's talking about players and draft. Assets has become the big word.
Yeah.
You've got all these – the Celtics have – 7 first-round assets potentially over the next 4 years that they can move to go get a veteran player. Well, Josh Stoman is an asset, right? I mean, he is – I like to use the term resource. He is a resource that you have. And what you've got to be really good at is, can I get – am I going to get something out of him or not? I think the Yankees, when they're going good, and the Red Sox, when they're going good, they don't move the guys that are going to end up being good. They move the guys – who could be good and oftentimes don't end up being good. That's been the great success story to me, of the Yankees and the Red Sox, they do a great job of saying, no, this is the guy we got to hang on to. And these are the guys we can move. Well, the Royals need to do that with these pieces. And to be all in on this ball club, and I think this team, by taking 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox, let me tell you something. In the 7th inning, it was looking like the Royals are somewhat schedule-driven in their surge. About ready to drop their 2nd of 3 to the Red Sox.
One being a blowout.
I think you were going to have to conclude that at least through this homestand, now they were going to have the chance to sweep the Jays and go 4-2 in the homestand. Then we'd all been feeling real good. But you're about ready to say, okay, look, first step with the Red Sox is it's a step back. Their surge was based upon bad opponents, and they're going to have to beat good opponents if they're going to be a real playoff team. So let's hold your horses. But they didn't. They walked, which is, again, the Red Sox did their part, but taking advantage of teams not being able to do what you're supposed to do, that's what good teams do. The Royals walked the bases loaded for other teams when they sucked, and then that power hitter would hit the ball over the wall. The other teams had the guy who could hit the ball over the wall. They had the guys who could identify what is and is not a strike. And frankly, when watching Salvador Perez's at bat, you had to feel a little bit like, would you just take a pitch?
Yeah.
If you would take this crap, I mean, he swung at how many balls that were outside? Some of them close, but a guy that you got to believe who, you know, the collectively the Red Sox had thrown 9 balls in a row, and he swings at one just outside and another one just outside to dig himself, what, an 0-2 hole, or maybe it was 1-2, I can't remember where it was, on the start of that at bat. I was watching on the Fox Sports Go app.
I thought it was 0-2.
While I was moving around. So, you know, I was sitting there going, what are you doing? Just take the pitch, Salvi. And then I had the thought in my head, well, you better do something with it. And he did.
Yeah.
And he fought and he battled. So in some ways, Salvador Perez helped them out by swinging at balls. But Salvador Perez has the talent, and the Royals have a player who has the talent, to maybe make some mistakes and then make up for it with a swing over the wall. And so you take nothing away from that win yesterday. The Royals made some errors to give the Red Sox the lead, but they're good enough to overcome those errors. And they don't make a lot of errors. When they're going good, when they're playing Royal baseball, they don't give a lot of free passes. They don't walk the world, and they don't give up a lot of errors. And then they take advantage of the mistakes the other team makes. Look, the game of baseball is not as complex as a lot of people want to make it. If you take advantage of the mistakes made by the other team, you're going to be good. If you don't give a 4th out in an inning, and you take advantage of the 4th out you're given, you're going to win a lot of baseball games. And so this team is getting back to being that kind of team. So no excuses need to be made for the Royals taking 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. They did it. They were the better team over 3 games. And that's important. So, look, if we're to look at where the Royals go from here, I'll say again, when are you going to be 3.5 out from the division race and 2 out from a wild card on June 22nd again? When is that going to be? Do you honestly feel that that will be next year? I don't. I think they're going to be better than people think, but I don't think they're going to be 3 out next year because the Indians are not falling off a cliff at the end of this year. The Twins are ahead of your rebuilding process right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're maybe a year early, but they might even take a step back next year and then take 2 steps forward in 19. Like, I would circle 19 for the Twins.
The Astros did, kind of in their run.
Yeah.
Took a step back in 16.
Yeah. And the Twins aren't, I don't think, going to be a playoff team like the Astros were, surprisingly quick.
Yeah.
But I think 19's a year for the Twins. I don't think you're going to be 3.5 back, but you are this year. So I think the Royals, I do think one of the things that we're going to have to hold ownership, is they're always ultimately responsible, and maybe first and foremost, Dayton Moore is, look, you're 3.5 back now. So I know a lot of it's been put into, okay, what do we do if we sell? But now you got to put some time and effort and energy and maybe some resources into buying. And I expect them to be more of a diet buying like they did in 14. Claiming Willingham off waivers. They put a claim in for him. I think they then had to give something up for him, right? He wasn't just released. Was it Jason Adam? Yeah, Jason Adam for Willingham. Did they claim Ibanez off waivers? They might have gotten him, or they just picked up his contract and they got him. And trading for Jason Fraser. That's not enough. That's not enough for this team. You know, David Glass talked yesterday at the Negro Leagues Museum about this club being, you know, tough and and gritty and back in it. And okay, so then support them. I mean, I truly believe that you're never a stand pat team as a small market team. You're going to have windows. The window's now. And if you're in a window and if your team's good enough, then you add to it. And then you deal with the consequences later. And I think that's where the Royals need to be when the trade market really heats up, which is probably going to be after the, you know, it's going to be around the July 4th time. So we're coming very quickly to that. And I think you need to look at this team and say, okay, how good are we? And are they, and this is what I'd ask you as a fan, and you can grab a phone line and chime in at 913-3810-810. Is this team as good as it was in 14? That was a team that was almost good enough to win the World Series. Is it as good as it was in 15? A team that throughout the regular season and after the fact, coupled with their 14, nobody thought they were the favorite even going into the playoffs, but they truly were. They had the best record in the American League. They had pedigree, experience, grit, and toughness, and played winning playoff baseball. After the fact, when you look at it, the stat guys were wrong. They were the best playoff team out there. How does this team compare to that 15 team?
And after game three of the ALDS, they weren't really challenged much after that.
Yeah. I mean, they were definitively the best team in 2015. There are no apologies that need to be made. You might say it was hokey and fluky in 14. That can't be said about 15. How does this team compare to that? And if they're somewhere in between 14 and 15, or if they're close to 14, then you're obligated to make them better than 14. Because the 14 team proved that it could take it all the way to maybe a misstep by their opposition away from being world champions. And that's how it has to be viewed. So Josh Stillmont and Hunter Dozier and Khalil Lee and Raul Mondesi cannot be untouchable. They cannot. And they have to be in your mind as currency that can be used to buy yourself whatever you're lacking to make another run at a championship. If that's why you kept these guys together, then you got to go the whole way. 913-3810-810. You're in the program.